And a good steamy Sunday morning to you. Susie taking a day of vacation. She will return next Sunday morning. Danny Long sitting in Susie's chair in the meantime, along with the producer Josh Wheeler this Sunday morning. Nice to have you around. On our Health Hour this morning, let me introduce you to our guest this morning, Lydia Burr, who is Director of Clinical Services with Hazelden Betty Ford. Lydia, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. I know it's Sunday. We appreciate your presence here.
Hey, good morning. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Having grown up here in the Twin Cities and hearing that name, Hazelden, it goes back a long time. And when people think of, at least some people, when they think of substance use treatment, they think of Hazelden. I know the term, the gold standard, I think it still applies. And I think Hazelden has been known not only around the country, but around the world too. Could you, if you could, for those that don't know, give us a little bit of history. When did Hazelden come about and Hazelden Betty Ford? Give us a little history, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. Hazelden, before it was Hazelden Betty Ford, it's a 76, we're in our 76th year. It's a substance use disorder treatment center that was established in Minnesota and has really set the standard for substance use disorder treatment for those 76 years. We established the Minnesota model of care, which is now used around the world. And of course, over the years, we've grown. We merged with the Betty Ford Center. So now we're proudly Hazelden Betty Ford. We take gold standard, that description, we take it really seriously. And what that means is we have to move and change with the times. What people need changes over time, research changes over time, and what we're capable of delivering changes over time. Now we're across the country, across the United States, in several states, and still delivering the gold standard of care, both for substance use disorder and for mental health conditions now, and trying to keep up with the pace of change in the industry and continue setting the standard.
Has it, and I'm thinking back to when it first started, I think now what I've read a long time ago, that it was initially just a men only, basically treating alcoholism way back then. Has Hazelden become busier? I mean, are more people, are we seeing more instances, or are people more aware now of the need?
Certainly, yes. I think people are more aware. And I think through the work that Hazelden Betty Ford does, in addition to other organizations, of course, I think that we are targeting the stigma around substance use and mental health conditions and making it okay for people to reach out for help, and classifying this type of treatment, behavioral health care, as health care, not and really fighting against this separatist thing where, you know, if you break your leg or you're in a car accident, you go to the emergency room or you go to the doctor. There's no shame in that, but that's not the case with substance use disorder and mental health conditions. That's still largely, you know, across the country and across the world, a misunderstood thing where people tend to think they just should be able to control it or should be able to just stop. And that's really one of the biggest barriers that prevents people from seeking help is that stigma around it and lack of knowledge that there is help for it, or that what they're dealing with or what their family is dealing with is treatable. And that's really one of the things we try to target, not just through our programming, of course, but we also have a dedicated publishing arm that trains other organizations and the communities around this. We have a Butler Center for Research to research our outcomes and shed light on how treatable these diseases are. We have advocacy and outreach departments, and we have a family program to help treat the entire family, you know, rather than the individual specifically, because we know that this is a family disease. And through all of those different ways, you know, we're trying to challenge the stigma, spread awareness, And I think that we're successful in that. There's just more work to do.
And we'll talk more about the mental health angle of this because, boy, that really makes sense. That is so important. Now, where's Hazel and Betty Ford located exactly? The headquarters.
Sure. The main campus is our Center City campus up in Center City, Minnesota. Of course, we have, like I said, several locations around the country. Our Center City campus is a residential campus, largely, meaning that it's residential care where people go to live there for a certain amount of time. And then we have outpatient locations across the state and across the country, along with other residential locations. But Center City is the place that people think of when they hear Hazel and Betty Ford, I think that. And then also, of course, the Betty Ford Center in Rancho Mirage, California.
And certainly over the years, we've heard of very famous people spending some time here in Minnesota doing that very thing. If you're just joining us, Lydia Burr, who is Director of Clinical Services with Hazel and Betty Ford, is with us during our health hour. And I want to make mention, too, Lydia, and our listeners, that if you have our listeners have a question or maybe a comment, we always have a line for you to either call in if you wanted to chat with Lydia or certainly send a text. Here is one number for either, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, if you have a question or a comment. Again, we're talking with Lydia Burr from Hazel and Betty Ford. What about, let's talk a little bit about the 12-step program. People have heard about that. Many people, of course, deal with that on a maybe a weekly basis, daily basis, every minute. Is that still used? I assume I'm asking the obvious question. Is the 12-step program still used at Hazelden? And what is the 12-step program?
Yeah, absolutely. The 12-step program is exactly that. It's 12 steps that people who are struggling with substance use disorder historically have used. It's an anonymous program. Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, I think, are probably the most well-known iterations of the program. And it's a mutual support group and a mutual support program where people who are struggling can get together with their peers, others who are struggling and others who have recovered, to help each other through a process of recovery by following 12 steps. It is traditionally the foundation that Hazel and Betty Ford is built off of. It is traditionally a 12-step program, and we certainly still do use the 12 steps. We use 12-step facilitation, which is an evidence-based treatment method approach to substance use disorder. And we're really proud of our roots, and we're proud of our history and the tradition of the 12 steps. We also acknowledge that there are several paths to recovery. So while we do still facilitate the 12 steps, educate on the 12 steps, and help people using that method of 12-step facilitation, we also acknowledge other pathways to recovery. The 12 steps has worked for millions of people, and so have other methods. So our focus is evidence-based treatment approaches, and 12 steps being one of them.
I'm getting a signal time for a little bit of a break, Lydia, so hang on if I may ask you to do that. We're going to be back. If you're just, again, joining us, Lydia Burr, who's Director of Clinical Services with Hazel and Betty Ford, joining us during our health hour this Sunday morning. Denny in for Susie. She'll be back next Sunday. If you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you at 651-461-9226. A hot, steamy Sunday morning in CCO land. Right now, we have the new temp at 75, dew point at 70. We look to hit near 92 today. In fact, we're going to be about 91 again tomorrow before things start cooling down a little bit. Right now in the Twin Cities, again, 75 degrees from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Stay with us. 7:23 on a Sunday morning during our health hour here on 830 WCCO. Denny Long in for Susie Jones. She will return next Sunday morning, as usual. If you are just joining us, Lydia Burr is our guest this morning on the show, Director of Clinical Services with Hazel and Betty Ford, talking about recovery. We're talking specifically about this great organization called Hazel and Betty Ford. Lydia, it's been around a long time. And when we last, before the break, we were talking about the 12-step program, I'm sure basic. And I know there's so many variables. It may be a simple question, but I can hear some people wondering who are obviously not aware of the program. Is there a range? How long or fast? So many variables, I know. And that 12-step program that can take?
Absolutely. I mean, if we're talking about the 12 steps outside of like a treatment program like Hazel and Betty Ford's programming, it's really, it's a program that people live their lives by. So the speed at which people move through the 12 steps is completely unique to the individual. But a lot of people, they move through them and then they go back to the beginning, you know, and they start again. That doesn't necessarily mean that they return to use as much as the 12 steps really are sort of a set of values and principles to live by. And it's a lifelong program. As far as like a treatment goes or substance use disorder, mental health programming at Hazel and Betty Ford, that also, of course, is variable based on the individual and what their needs are, which are so varied from person to person, as I'm sure you can imagine. But we do know that the longer somebody's length of engagement in some form of clinical programming, the better their chances are, the better their outcomes are for maintaining abstinence and sobriety and living a, you know, happy, joyous, and free life. So we try to keep people engaged in some form of programming as long as possible. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're trying to keep people in residential programming separated from their lives for as long as possible. There are plenty of outpatient options, and they are varying levels of intensity to meet the needs of the individual, from 5 days a week outpatient all the way down to once a week or once a month for individual mental health. And we do try to keep people engaged so they have some clinical touch point, some tie back to us on a consistent basis, and they know that they have that place of support.
Lydia, you mentioned earlier, I think it's so important, this angle of mental health conditions in it, and I was reading a figure earlier, I can't remember exactly, but like the vast majority of those patients at Hazel and Betty Ford have more than one treatable mental health condition. This is one of the changes I think you were alluding to that has been happening at Hazel and Betty Ford, right?
Yes, absolutely. So we are noticing, have been noticing, and have known that the vast majority, like you said, of our patients have a co-occurring mental health condition in addition to the substance use disorder that they're struggling with. It's sort of a chicken or the egg proposition. Which one came first? Is the substance use causing the mental health conditions, or is this person using substances in order to, you know, self-medicate the mental health condition? And the good thing is it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter which one came first as much as it matters how we treat them, and that we treat them concurrently at the same time. So, you know, over 79% of our patients had more than one diagnosis in addition to their substance use disorder in 2023. And if you consider also that even people who don't have a diagnosis, meaning they're not formally diagnosed with depression or anxiety or a trauma disorder, they still have symptoms of those things, right? So even more than 79% of our patients have symptoms of a mental health condition, and they still need coping skills to address those symptoms in order to maintain recovery. And so we want to help those folks too. We want to make sure that our programming addresses that even for folks who don't have a full-on diagnosis, because it's still a trigger and a danger point and something that they're going to need to navigate in their recovery.
I've got to ask you, Lydia, considering that, and you must, if a person or when a person becomes a patient at Hazel and Betty Ford, what kind of team surrounds this person. I mean, dealing with mental health and other issues. Who are the helpers there at Hazel and Betty Ford?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it, because that's the, I mentioned a little earlier, the Minnesota model of care, which obviously was created by Hazel and Betty Ford and in Minnesota. And part of the Minnesota model of care is this idea that we need to treat the whole person. That's what we're talking about. Their physical wellness, their mental wellness, their spiritual wellness. And so what we want to do is surround people with helpers who can help with all of that. So when people come to Hazel and Betty Ford, they can expect to be treated by a team of people. One of which, of course, is going to be their focal therapist, which will be a substance use disorder counselor or co-occurring professional, meaning somebody who is licensed to treat both substance use disorder and mental health conditions. They will be seen by mental health staff. We have doctors, nurses, psychiatrists, wellness staff, spiritual care staff. So this team of people who can help treat the whole person make sure that the whole person is moving through their process of recovery, and that we can identify and address triggers from any of those fronts while they're in treatment to improve their outcomes, give them the best outcomes possible.
I know we're up against the clock, Lydia, for the look at that forecast, but I'm looking at a text from a listener, and we certainly do welcome our listeners' input, either a phone call or text. Just one number to remember, 651-461-9226. As we head to the break, I'll mention this and give you a chance to think about this, Lydia. Texter says, I know you maybe can't help everyone. They want to know what is the success rate with meth addiction. Their best friend's adult daughter has gone through that program. And let's talk a little bit about that specific question, if we can, when we come back after the break. Again, our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. If you are just joining us, Lydia Burr is our guest this morning, Director of Clinical Services with Hazel and Betty Ford. We'll be back after the weather here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Sunday morning to you. Welcome back to our Health Hour. Denny in for Susie. She'll be back next week. Our guest this morning is Lydia Burr. Lydia is Director of Clinical Services with Hazel and Betty Ford. And we're talking about this great organization. And Lydia, again, thanks for joining us on this Sunday morning. I left you with a question, and I you may not have all the data in front of you, but a texter did send a text about a best friend's adult daughter who had a problem with a meth addiction. And this texter, he or she wanted to know, is there a rate, a success rate on that? I don't even know if you have that kind of information on meth.
You know, I don't have the information about meth specifically in front of me. What I can say that we know for sure about meth addiction is that there are some special considerations that need to be taken into account, you know, during the treatment process, both, you know, for the that substance itself, but also, obviously, there are probably so many individual factors about this person specifically, you know, and what this person needs. I can tell you that folks who are addicted to methamphetamines have a very high prevalence of a co-occurring mental health condition. Meth is pretty notorious for that. 86% of our patients rate their overall quality of life as good or better after 1 year after treatment, and 86% of our patients rate their overall general health as good or better. And 81% report no or low cravings for substances. So that's 1 year after treatment. Those are more general outcomes than this person's asking for. It is, I can attest to those. However, what I would want to see for somebody who's struggling with addiction to amphetamines, methamphetamines, is some really strong continuing care and long-term engagement in some sort of, you know, some sort of programming like we were talking about before. That's something that I would want to see in addition to treatment that addresses co-occurring disorders, mental health conditions, as well as substance use disorder, in order to improve outcomes for that specific person.
Interestingly enough, Lydia, I'm looking at a follow-up from our listener who talked about that young woman saying, quote, she does have significant mental health issues as well. So exactly follows what you've been talking about here.
Absolutely.
If a person, well, let's just say, how does a person become a patient? What are the steps necessary to become a patient at Hazel and Betty Ford?
You know, the first thing that we want people to do for themselves or for a loved one, you know, because a lot of people seek help for their loved ones. It's not always the person themselves making that first call. But we want to see them call our 800 number, which is on the website, hazelandbettyford.org. And we want to see them call it. I can say 1-888-707-0376. This is the number to call to get information about services, to explore options, to get your insurance checked, and see that if you're in network with us, and if you're not, to get resources for other programs that is within our network of care, or trusted partners, I should say, that we refer to, and to get an assessment scheduled. We really try to make it as easy as possible to become a patient with us and to meet you where you're at in terms of options. We certainly will make a level of care recommendation based on, you know, what's going on for you, right? There will be a clinically appropriate level of care recommendation, but if you can't do that, you know, if your circumstances in life are such that you can't seek that level of care, we will work with you and meet you where you're at and try to get you the next best thing, you know, that you are able to go to.
Lydia, if you would, give us that number again. I know we're going to be getting questions from listeners asking for that very number, and I want to jot it down, and we'll have you mention it before you take your leave this morning. Again, what is that number?
1-888-707-0376. And also, go to hazeldenbettyford.org. That can be easier to remember than a lot of digits. And it's right there on the homepage as well. And, of course, hazeldenbettyford.org has lots more information and resources for folks who maybe aren't ready to pick up the phone yet, but really want to see, hey, do I have a problem or should I be worried about my loved one? There's a lot of resources and information along with the phone number on hazeldenbettyford.org.
Yeah, you said it earlier, it definitely is a whole family issue. It does affect so many people, so many ripples. Looking at a text, Lydia, from a listener, and I'll just read it. How does medical marijuana used for sleep and for focus play into recovery from substance abuse? Is using it considered real recovery? Texter said, I've heard pros and cons.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack in that question. So the first thing that I would want to address in that question is the phrase real recovery. We are an abstinence-oriented program, meaning that we want people to be abstinent from all mood-altering substances. So we don't condone the use of medical marijuana for sleep. If somebody's using medical marijuana for sleep, I also don't think that we're going to say that's not real recovery, right? Because people do need to define what recovery means to them and what makes them the productive member of society that they want to be, you know, based on their goals. So although it is not part of our programs, and I'll tell you why in a second, I do want to say that we don't want to take a judgmental stance around what's real recovery and what isn't. But we can't have people using medical marijuana for those reasons, like while they're in our programming. Now, the reason that we don't condone it is because there's actually not enough peer-reviewed solid research on the use of marijuana for medical purposes. Now, the reason for that is because until very recently, it was classified as a substance that, you know, you can't really research. So there's not a lot of research. It's not evidence-based, and it's not regulated the way that I think people might believe it is. So when somebody gets a medical marijuana card right from their doctor, the doctor is not actually prescribing marijuana. The doctor is giving a card that allows them to go obtain it. And who they're obtaining that from are not medical professionals. And so dosages, effects, side effects, long-term effects, these are not things that we know enough about to say that this is safe or that this is evidence-based, which is why we don't condone it and don't use it. However, I do think that, you know, I have certainly met people who really believe that it's the thing that's helping them be, helping them reach their goals. I have met people that assert that this is something that keeps them from using any other substances, you know, that type of thing. And from that perspective, I view it almost as like a harm reduction tactic, meaning that it's helping people feel or be a little bit more safe than they would be using some illicit substances, or at least in whatever their situation was before that. And harm reduction is sometimes one stop along the way to full abstinence. So if somebody is using medical marijuana for sleep or to treat any sort of, I think a lot of people say that they use it for their depression or that it helps with their anxiety or that it helps with their sleep. There are evidence-based practices and treatment for all of those issues. So anything that somebody's using medical marijuana for, we have an evidence-based practice to take the place of that marijuana, and we would really love to work with you on that. So it's not a reason not to seek treatment. We just want you to be open to the possibility that there may be other methods of treating whatever it is that person is trying to medicate.
Makes sense. I know we're heading to another quick break. Lydia, I want to pose this. Maybe you can comment on this comment, not a question. And we'll hear what you have to say after the break. Texter says this: so glad to have this topic addressed. As I've done genealogy research, Texter says, I found evidence of alcohol abuse in my own family going back 3 generations at least. Texter says, I've seen it go into the next generation with my own children and cousins, nephews, and nieces. Recognizing these tendencies in my own family is an important factor. It's just kind of a little side comment. We'll see if you have something to say about that comment when we come back after the break here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's a Sunday morning here in 830 WCCO. Denny Long in for Susie, who will return next Sunday. Our guest this morning on our Health Hour has been Lydia Burr, who is Director of Clinical Services with Hazel and Betty Ford here in our area, our neck of the woods. Big name, has been for a lot of years. And when we, just before the break, and Lydia, if you could comment on that briefly, basically I won't read the whole thing, but the texter, the listener, was talking about alcohol abuse going back 3 generations or more. It's probably a story you've heard many times.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to thank that texter for sending that in and sort of bringing up that topic. There is a genetic component to substance use disorder. It does run in families. And the reason that that is so important is because even if you don't struggle with a substance use disorder, it doesn't mean that other members of your family don't, and it doesn't mean that your children wouldn't, right, just because you don't. If there are other members of the family and that do, then there is that genetic component. So it's really just important to understand substance use disorder and the signs of substance use disorder, you know, whether or not you personally have been affected by it in your life. And it's also important to note that you do not need a genetic predisposition to develop dependence on substances. It increases likelihood for folks, but it's not the only reason that somebody might struggle.
I'm looking. You and I have been talking about the mental health angle of treatment, and I guess I expected this to happen. What a listener wants to know if kind of therapies does Hazel and Betty Ford offer for that particular issue?
Yeah. So we talked about 12-step facilitation a little bit earlier in the program, and that is one approach to treatment. We also offer CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. We have we factor in some DBT, which is dialectical behavior therapy, ACT therapy, acceptance and commitment. We use motivational interviewing, which is it's a tool, a therapy tool to help people navigate, sort of their own ambivalence, find their own answers to, you know, whatever their questions are or whatever it is that they need, and sort of come to their own conclusions rather than us telling people what to do. That's just to name a few. We certainly have specific trauma treatments available for specific folks like EMDR. It kind of goes with that, like multiple approaches to recovery. All of that and more, that's just sort of to name a few, are things that have made up our standardized curriculum of care, our co-occurring disorders curriculum, and also can be offered on individual basis with people as needed.
A couple of questions about insurance. I knew that was going to happen. What kind of insurance is necessary to become a patient at Hazel and Betty Ford?
We're a network with most private insurances, so that in order to get really like a more individualized answer, I would encourage you to call that 800 number we were talking about before. Visit hazelandbettyford.org, to really check your insurance and whether or not what you have is in network with us. But we accept the vast majority of private insurance.
Oh, that's good to know. In our last couple of minutes, Lydia, I would be remiss if I did not ask you how this opioid crisis impacted your organization.
And it's impacted, it's impacted us all. From our organization standpoint, we have really had to respond to this public health crisis in kind by adjusting some of the programming that we have and the treatment approaches that we offer in order to meet this population's needs. Something that is standard now, but certainly wasn't back when we did it, was start offering assisted treatments and therapies and medications for opiate use disorder. So that's what people call Suboxone, Sublocade, anti-craving medications that can help people stay in treatment long enough to start to self-manage their own recovery. What we were seeing before we offered those options was people leaving treatment early because they were struggling so much and feeling so sick in treatment that it was untenable for them. So we had to adjust, and we had to meet this population's needs in order to keep them in therapy and save their lives and help them save their own lives. So that's one way in which we've adjusted in how it's impacted us. And, along with, I think, more public knowledge, more public awareness, and then some reform on the policy side, I think we've made a difference, right? We've made a dent. It doesn't not at all to say it isn't a problem anymore. Of course it is. But I do think that public general awareness has risen.
And again, as we head out of here, and again, Lydia, I appreciate you taking the time on this Sunday morning on this most important topic. Again, the phone number and the website before we let you go this morning.
So hazelandbettyford.org. is the website. Visit hazelandbettyford.org for information and resources. As far as the phone number goes, that's available on the site. It's 888-070-0376.
0376. All right, hazelandbettyford.org. Lydia, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. We could probably go on for another hour at least. A lot of great information. And keep up the great work. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for shedding light on this and giving us some time. Yeah, we could go on for hours, but I appreciate the time we had.
We'll have you back on if you have the time for us. Thanks, Lydia.
Thanks so much.
Lydia Burr, again, Director of Clinical Services with Hazelden Betty Ford. Coming up to Your Money, Bruce and Peg, and guests, that'll be next hour with more of Your Money from Wealth Enhancement Group. We'll be back with a look at that weather, too, here. News Talk 830 WCCO.